Well done. I am so happy as a father to have my whole family here.
Yeah.
When we came to Canada, I was just thinking there was five of us. Travi was a little boy in my arms, little baby. And now today there's 15 of us, I think. Isn't that something? Oh, yes. I don't take things like this for granted, friends. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I was reading in November of 2001, the editors of Sports Illustrated magazine thought about the greatest comebacks in history. And they published their list called the Top 10 Comebacks of All Time. It was a broad list, but I'm going to narrow it down to a few. First one, they said Elvis Presley was on this list due to his TV special in 1968 that revived his failing career. The second, another one was Muhammad Ali, for when he returned from his 7-year forced exile from boxing and reclaimed the world championship. Michael Jordan's return to basketball made the list. And so did all of mankind for recovering from the Black Plague of the 14th century that killed 25 million people. The number two all-time comeback was a tie between Japan and Germany for their recovery from devastation after World War II. But the number one greatest comeback of all times, named by the editors of Sports Illustrated in the November 12th, 2001 issue was Jesus Christ coming back from the dead in AD 33. Isn't that something? Yeah, his Sports Illustrated editors putting this together and acknowledging the greatest all-time comeback in the history of this world was when Jesus came back from the dead. Friends, every year, every Christmas, we gather in amazement that Jesus will leave the splendor of heaven and come to our little planet, become human and experience life on earth. A few months later into our calendar, we gather on Good Friday in humble amazement that Jesus Christ would die on the cross for our sins, that he would take the punishment we deserve. And then we come to today, this day, Resurrection Sunday, to the climax, to the culmination of Jesus' ministry here on earth. And now we celebrate, not just that he was born, not just that he died, but that he rose from the dead. Amen. This is the excitement of Christianity. This is the uniqueness of our faith. You sang the song so lovely. I love these words. I have to mention them again. The words of this old hymn that says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. He's always near. He lives. Come on. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. That's a rhetorical question, but he has the answer. He lives within my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. That first Easter was the best day ever in the history of the world. Easter changed everything. And Easter can change you and I as well, because Jesus is alive and God wants to give you a day like that today. The first benefit of Easter or of the resurrection is this, friend. God wants to give you and I a truth worth trusting. In Matthew 28, the first verse, we see that after the Jewish Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, she was the mother of James, and Mark says there was also Salome with them. They came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. And when they get there, the angel of the Lord had descended from heaven, rolled the stone away that sealed the tomb, and sat on it. And friends, it's the sure truth we see in Matthew 28, verse 5 and 6. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Jesus was crucified, and that meant that he died. Jesus, at his trial, he was found guilty of blasphemy for claiming to be God. And the Roman governor at that time, Pilate, had Jesus flogged. Jesus was beaten to near death. Pastor and author, he was also as a professional, an ophthalmologist. His name was Dr. Truman Davis. He studied the brutal beating that left Jesus at the edge of death. And this is what he wrote. Jesus was tied to a post and was beaten at least 39 times with a whip that was jagged, that had jagged bones and lumps of lead woven into it. Again and again, the whip was brought down with full force on his bare shoulders, legs, and his back. At first, the heavy whip cut through the skin only. But as the blows continued, they cut deeper into underlying tissue. By the end, the skin on his back was left hanging in long ribbons, and the entire area was an unrecognizable mass of torn, bleeding tissue. Undoubtedly, Jesus was in serious to critical condition even before the crucifixion. No wonder he said he was not able to carry his cross. Friends, death by crucifixion was so painful that a new English word was introduced. And that word was used to describe what Jesus went through. And this English word that was founded and discovered was the word excruciating. Excruciating. This comes from a Latin word which means out of the cross. And after Jesus' hands and feet were nailed securely, he was hoisted to hang on the cross. Crucifixion, friends, is basically a slow death by suffocation. People on the cross could breathe out, but they struggled to breathe in, unless they pushed up on their feet. And of course they did. It was excruciating pain. And it could go on for days. But if the Romans wanted to hasten death, they used a hammer. Now think about that. To break the victim's shins, the shin bone, so that he couldn't push up anymore. And death followed within minutes. And that's what the executioners did to the two men on either side of Jesus. But the Bible says when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. This was fulfillment of a prophecy. If you go home and read Psalm 34, verse 19 and 20, it says there that his bones will remain unbroken. So to confirm that Jesus was dead, they took a long spear and shoved it into his side here by his ribs, puncturing the sac around his heart and the heart itself, causing clear fluid and blood to flow out, which eyewitnesses record. You can check John 19:34. Nobody came down from a cross alive. Nobody. And that included Jesus. You're looking so sad. But now, he's alive. Amen. 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 And we don't whisper around, we don't tiptoe around that. We don't swallow our words as we say that. Jesus is alive. Amen. The angel said, he's not here, for he is risen. In Matthew 28, verse 9, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. A lot of people saw Jesus alive after his death. The Bible reports that Jesus appeared to hundreds of people during the 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension. He appeared to Mary Magdalene in John 20. He appeared to two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. He appeared to the 11 disciples who couldn't believe their eyes at first. And in Luke 24, verse 39, Jesus said, look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a spirit or a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. That's from the New Living Translation. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 8, Paul gave a wonderful report of Jesus's resurrection appearances. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, that is Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, some have passed away. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as the one born out of due time. I was born at the wrong time. Paul is saying, but I saw him. You know when Paul saw him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ wasn't a hallucination of a broken-hearted disciple. Large numbers of people saw Jesus alive in different times, in different places, under different circumstances, in a period of 40 days. Lee Strobel, he's an investigative journalist. He pointed out that if every eyewitness of Jesus's resurrection were called to the witness stand, it will take over 128 hours to hear their testimony at only 15 minutes per person. In other words, he said, it would take from breakfast on Monday until dinner time on Friday, listening around the clock to hear the testimony of those witnesses. Jesus is alive. Amen. This is the truth worthy of your trust. This is not fake news. one of the most successful defense attorneys of all time was Lionel Lacou from Guyana. He was in the 1985 Guinness World Book of Records for being the most successful lawyer in the world. Lionel successfully defended his clients in 245 murder trials. He won 245 murder trials in a row, either before a jury or on appeal. Lionel was knighted twice by Queen Elizabeth and served as a distinguished diplomat. He also served as a justice on his country's highest court. Certainly, he was a world-class expert on evidence. What did he think about the evidence of Jesus' resurrection? After a careful examination, Lionel boldly stated, "I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt." Amen. Isn't that something, friends? Jesus is alive. And this Easter, God wants to give you this truth worth trusting. God wants to give you a life worth living. I'm talking about a life filled with joy and purpose. A life filled with energy and excitement. It's the kind of life we see on display in Matthew 28, 6 to 8. Listen again what the angel's good news about Jesus was. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Friends, we can feel the change. We can feel the change. Oh, I'll stop right there. That's my granddaughter. That's the new one. She's hearing my voice and it's driving her crazy because she wants to be in my arms. Praise the Lord. Eh? We can feel the change in verse 8 as the truth sinks into these. Listen what it says in verse 8. It's still there. "So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy." You see the change? "And ran to bring his disciples words." The New Living Translation says they were frightened, but also filled with great joy. Jesus is alive. The great news gives life to everyone who believes. Life that overcomes tears. Life that overcomes fears. Life that overcomes frustration and failure. The disciples knew failure. You remember the fellow Peter who had denied knowing the Lord three times? But Mark added, you know, when Mark, I love Mark's style of writing, where he adds a little more detail to the angel's message. And Mark said in Mark 16, verse 7, "But go and tell his disciples and Peter." You got it? Tell them that Jesus is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. God had the angel single out Peter because he wanted Peter to know that his failure did not exclude him from the good news. We all fail, friends, eh? You're not excluded. Jesus has life worth living for everyone who believes. Life that overcomes our tears and our fears and our failures. This Easter, God wants to give you a life worth living. God wants to give you the Lord worth loving. Amen. Those ladies met the risen Savior and they worshipped him with great love. Let's read verse 28, chapter 28, 9 and 10. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. They came and held Jesus at his feet. This was a sign of reverence, but it was also a sign of great love. They loved the Lord, and so do we, because Jesus loves us more than anyone else in this world. He proved that he loves us, friends, when he died on the cross for our sins. And this is why Jesus is our best friend. Listen to his words in John 15, verse 13. Greater love, Jesus says, has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You also noticed in verse 10 of the previous verse that Jesus called his followers brethren. Brethren is an olden days name for brothers. What a blessing to know that we can come to Jesus as our brother and our best friend. We can worship Jesus with great love. And hear him say, rejoice, be glad, do not be afraid. I promise you that when you follow Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then through his Holy Spirit, he will meet with you. And Jesus will prove himself as to always be someone we can worship in love. God wants to give you a Lord worth loving. God wants to give you a future worth finding. And there is no hope, friends, for a future without Jesus Christ. Let me say that again in case you're writing it down. There is no hope for your future without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, you will have a hopeless end. But with Jesus, you will have endless hope. Friends, with Jesus, you will have a guaranteed future of perfect, eternal perfection. The angel gave those women a small glimpse of their future in verse 7. I'm going to read it again. In verse 7, it says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Jesus confirmed it in verse 10 again. He said, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee and there they will see me. Let me tell you that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, one day you too will see him. You will see him face to face. You will live with him forever in heaven. You know the hymn writer says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. These women went to the tomb in their deepest despair, but the resurrection changed all of that. They were lifted up with new hope and great joy. They knew their future was secure because Jesus was alive. There was a celebration going on in their hearts, and the Lord wants to give that celebration to us. In March of 1993, a sudden snowstorm covered the east coast of the U.S. over in the Smoky Mountains. It was the snow of the century. Many hunters and hikers were trapped in the park. Four doctors from Knoxville had chosen that weekend for a hunting trip to the Smokies. They only expected to be gone one night and didn't know about the coming storm. So they didn't bother to tell their family exactly where they were going. They felt that their SUV could take them deep into the mountains and get them back out with no trouble. But then the snow banked up so deep around their SUV and that it refused to budge. This was before cell phones were commonplace, and no one in the outside world knew where they were. Plus, they had only enough food for 2 days. They were scared and confused about what to do. Evening fell on the second day. Still, they had no contact with civilization, and their SUV was trapped forever. They divided a stale donut that one of them found in the back of the vehicle. They were cold, hungry, and greatly discouraged. Would anyone find them before they froze to death or starved to death? Then they heard the sound overhead, the unmistakable sound of a helicopter. They jumped out of the SUV and started screaming and waving to be seen. The pilot did see them, but the helicopter was already full. Then the doctor saw a basket coming down, and in the basket was a note with one word on it: tomorrow. That one word changed everything. Those four doctors made a chorus line and kicked their legs as high as they could go. Then at the top of their lungs, they began to sing that well-known song from Annie. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're only a day away. Their fear was gone. Help was on the way, and that they could live to see another day. And friends, this is the joy of Easter. This is the joy of the resurrection. Bright hope for tomorrow. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we don't have to worry about today or tomorrow. We don't have to sit out biting our fingernails. God loves us. Jesus had conquered sin and death, and we can live the resurrection life today. You know what Jesus said once? Not on the screen. You learned it when you were little. He says, I have come that you may have life, and that more abundantly. We will always have tomorrow. Jesus Christ wants to give all of this to you. And this Easter, God wants to give you a future worth finding. One more. God wants to give you a story worth sharing. Christians, we have a story worth sharing. Do you know we mentioned it? We read those Bible verses actually twice already. In Matthew 28, verse 7, the angel said, go and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen. Jesus himself said, do not be afraid, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. They'll see me. Go and tell. Go and tell. God wants all believers to go and tell the good news. And what a message. God loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. And Jesus can give you everlasting life because he is risen from the dead. One more verse. I want to preach another sermon on this verse, but it's a lovely verse. Remember what Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. This is my good news. We were walking through a very thick jungle part of the Philippines on one of the islands there. We came across some fellas that were playing there. And when we got there, they surrounded us. And we were against the wall. And we said, we've come to feed the children. And they stepped back and all the children came there and we were feeding the children. And we called the woman, all the mothers, come, come, come. We gave them food. And they were looking at us so cross, so angry. And then I said, you guys come, man. And we fed them too. And then after I said that, they ate. I told them that God loves them. And you should have seen the smiles, friends. You see, that's the good news. That's the good news. That God loves us, friends. Sometimes we want to be all philosophical and theological. Huh? But you know, the best news you can tell someone. God loves them. That's the good news. The Bible says God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's love in action. Jesus is alive. Amen?
Amen.
You know, many years ago, I tried to say the Ukrainian words for Christos something, and after I said it, did my best, the Lord has said to me, I said, what did I say? She said, nothing. So I'm not going to fake knowing Ukrainian now. But I will say the English part and you say the response. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I beg your pardon. What did you say? Christ is risen. Don't forget to remember. Jesus is alive. This is the life-changing, world-changing, good news, gospel of Easter. God wants to give it to you today. He wants to give you a truth worth trusting, a life worth living, a Lord worth loving, a failure, a future worth finding, and a story worth sharing. I want to encourage us all. Sometimes life is tough, man. Eh? Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And rejoice today. You know why? Because he's alive. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You are yea in all your splendor, Lord. We are so eternally grateful that you are with us in such a lovely way. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will draw us closer to yourself, that you would speak into our lives, that you will make us conform to the image of Jesus Christ, that Lord, you want us to be like Jesus, who gave his life that we may have life and that more abundantly. I pray a blessing upon every head and heart that's bowed, even the children as they gather around their Bible lesson. Bless each one, Lord God. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Help us as we go from this place and we walk in this excitement, this newness, this hope that we have in Christ. And we know one day soon you are coming to receive us to be where you are. Bless each one, Lord God. Thank you for everyone. We love everyone here, Lord. And you love us too. In Jesus' name, amen.